Good afternoon. It's December 23rd, 2023 of the Common Era, and the time is 15:49 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again. And if anyone's wondering what the purpose of life is, it is to love. It's a one-word answer. There's nothing more to it than that. The purpose of life is to love. We're continuing our study today in the article Crucible of Credible Creed, or C-Cubed, Chapter 2, Paragraph 11. We're approaching the end of Chapter 2 now. And this is fascinating. I want to explain how the Rising of Sothis works, because the Rising of Sothis is almost the same day every year in the Julian calendar, which is the calendar that allows for a leap year every 4 years. But since the Egyptian calendar did not allow for a leap year, it would require an extra day every 4 years, so that the Rising of Sothis advanced one day in the Egyptian calendar every 4 years. That's why it took 1460 years for the Rising of Sothis to cycle through the calendar completely back to New Year's Day, Thoth 1. And during the time of Amenhotep, the Rising of Sothis was during one of the summer months, so it was approaching the end of the 1460 years, which ended sometime during the reign of Seti, around 1323 BCE, when Sothis rose on Thoth 1 again. Egyptian archaeology may depend on the date of Amenhotep I for its alignment in the early 18th dynasty, but it is generally agreed that a greater consensus existed later on, at least at the time of this article, among the experts on chronology as to dating closer to the middle of the dynasty. The dating around 1440 BCE, when Thutmose III died after a reign of 29 years, that is, you know, his reign excluding the reign of Hatshepsut, including her reign, during which time he was co-ruler, his reign was 53 or 54 years. He had a year 54, or part of it, according to the records in Egypt. And in our chronology, it was about 1440 or 1439 BCE when he died, and most people agree on this, so there's a good consensus there. Or compare that with 1425 BCE for some of the lower of the conventional dates for the death of Thutmose III. But still, neither of those dates equals 1446, you see. So it couldn't have been the death of a pharaoh at the time of the Exodus, if some people, as they do, date the Exodus in 1446. That would not work, because there's no pharaoh who died in that year. It should be noted that many proponents, those who advocate 967 BCE for the date of Solomon's temple founding, which is some 47 years after the date we give for the founding, these proponents, many of them, put 1446 BCE as the date of the Exodus, and you'll see this in the literature. It's all over the place. But that forces them to the belief that the Exodus does not cause the death of the pharaoh, which we know the Bible says it did cause the death of the pharaoh. Dating the Exodus at 1493 BCE relieves this burden. In other words, it's correct in that regard that the pharaoh dies. And it is first seen in the article entitled Green in the Greenology. That's the first article of the series regarding chronology. All these links, I think, work except the Moses link and the Ark of Urartu, because you have to add the insert the the word part hyphen one after the curly Q in the name Moses curly Q or tilde. So tilde Moses tilde, and then you put part hyphen one. You insert the part hyphen one into the name of that link, and you'll be able to get to the article that way. But I will update these, and the same with the Ark of Urartu. Insert part hyphen one into the name of it in the address bar if you want to get that before I change it. If you want to link to that at the end of the study of this article, Crucible of Credible Creed, a marvelous article. And that's the end of today's study therein. For today, our proverb, little ones, is from Lamentations 5 and 18. On account of Zion's mountain. Zion's mountain, Mount Zion, right? That's a famous name for Jerusalem, is Mount Zion. On account of Zion's mountain that is desolated, or Jerusalem, in other words, that is desolated, foxes themselves have walked on it. But if we look to the previous verse, it's, our eyes have grown dim on account of Zion's mountain that is desolated. And then it says, new sentence, or after the semicolon, foxes themselves have walked on Mount Zion. That's the tragedy of Jerusalem's destruction as described in the book of Lamentations by the inspired prophet Jeremiah. 2 Samuel 22, and this is David's psalm also. It's in the book of Psalms. We can see this, the song, if we click on the link there. What does it show? Okay, it didn't give us a link there. Maybe we see it. Psalms 18, yeah. It's Psalm 18, apparently. If we click on that, we'll see the same thing. Jehovah is my crag and my stronghold. So that's to be compared with Jehovah's my crag and my stronghold. It's the same words. 2 Samuel 22. And David, or it's also Psalm 18. And David proceeded to speak to Jehovah the words of this song in the day that Jehovah had delivered him out of the palm of all his enemies and out of Saul's palm. Saul's palm. The short form of which is Psalm. Saul's palm. And he went on to say, Jehovah is my crag and my stronghold and the provider of escape for me. This is the Psalm of David. Psalm 18. My God is my rock. I shall take refuge in him. My shield and my horn of salvation. My secure height and my place for flight. My Savior. From violence you save me. On the one to be praised, Jehovah, I shall call. And from my enemies I shall be saved. For deadly breaking waves encircled me. There were flash floods of good-for-nothing men that kept terrifying me. The ropes of Sheol themselves surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I kept calling upon Jehovah, and to my God I kept calling. Then, out of his temple, he heard my voice with my cry for help in his ears. Now, one of the things we should know is that love means we love ourselves, first and foremost. We don't love others at the expense of ourselves, because then we wouldn't have anything good to share with others. And back and forth, verse 8, the earth began to shake and to rock. The foundations of the heavens themselves became agitated. And they kept shaking back and forth because he had been angered. Smoke went up at his nostrils, and fire itself from his mouth kept devouring. Coals themselves blazed up from him, and he proceeded to bend the heavens down and to descend, and thick gloom was beneath his feet. And he came riding upon a cherub, and came flying, and he was visible upon the wings of a spirit. Then he put a darkness around him as booths, dark waters, thick clouds. From the brightness in front of him, burning coals of fire blazed up. From heaven Jehovah began to thunder, and the Most High himself began to give forth his voice. And he kept sending out arrows, that he might scatter them, lightning, that he might throw them into confusion. And the stream beds of the sea became visible. The foundations of the productive land became uncovered at the rebuke of Jehovah from the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He was sending from on high. He was taking me. He was drawing me out of great waters. He was delivering me from my strong enemy, from those hating me, because they were stronger than I was. They kept confronting me in the day of my disaster. But Jehovah became my support, and he proceeded to bring me out into a roomy place. He was rescuing me because he had found delight in me. Jehovah rewards me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he repays me. For I have kept the ways of Jehovah, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judicial decisions are in front of me, And as for his statutes, I shall not turn aside from them. And I shall prove myself faultless toward him. And I will keep myself from error on my part. And let Jehovah repay me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in front of his eyes. With someone loyal, you will act in loyalty. With the faultless mighty one, you will deal faultlessly. With the one keeping clean, you will show yourself clean. And with the crooked one, you will act as silly. And the humble people you will save, but your eyes are against the haughty ones, that you may bring them low. For you are my lamp, O Jehovah, and it is Jehovah that makes my darkness shine. For by you I can run against a marauder band. By my God I can climb a wall. As for the true God, perfect is his way. The saying of Jehovah is a refined one. A shield he is to all those taking refuge in him. For who is a God besides Jehovah? And who is a rock besides our God? The true God is my strong fortress, and he will cause my way to be perfect, making my feet like those of the hinds. And upon places high for me, he keeps me standing. He is teaching my hands for warfare, and my arms have pressed down a bow of copper. You will give me your shield of salvation, and it is your humility that makes me great. You will make room large enough for my steps under me, and my ankles will certainly not wobble. I will pursue my enemies, that I may annihilate them, and I shall not return until they are exterminated. And I shall exterminate them and break them in pieces, that they may not rise up, and they will fall under my feet. And you will gird me with vital energy for the battle. You will make those rising against me collapse under me. And as for my enemies, you will certainly give me the back of their neck. Those intensely hating me, I shall also silence them. They cry for help, but there is no Savior, to Jehovah, but he actually does not answer them. And I shall pound them fine like the dust of the earth, like the mire of the streets. I shall pulverize them. I shall beat them flat. And you will provide me escape from the fault-finding of my people. You will safeguard me to be the head of nations. A people that I have not known, they will serve me. Foreigners themselves will come cringing to me. Ears will be obedient to hear me. Foreigners themselves will fade away, and they will come quaking out from their bulwarks. Jehovah is living, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of the rock of my salvation be exalted. The true God is the giver of acts of vengeance to me, and the one bringing the peoples down under me. And the one bringing me out from my enemies. And above those who rise up against me, you will lift me up. From the man of violent deeds, you will deliver me. That is why I shall thank you, O Jehovah, among the nations. And to your name I shall make melody. The one doing great acts of salvation for his king, and exercising loving kindness to his anointed one, to David and to his seed, for time indefinite. That's the end of 2 Samuel 22. Remarkable how powerful that is. Just incredible. The many ways in which Jehovah assists servants who are faithful, such as David. Even though David was far from perfect, as we know. Lamentations chapter 5, the prophet Jeremiah concludes this book of Lamentations with this chapter, which is described by Clark in the following manner. He says, this chapter is, as it were, an epiphonema, or conclusion to the four preceding, representing the nation as groaning under their calamities and humbly supplicating the divine favor. Lamentations chapter 5, little ones. Remember, O Jehovah, what has happened to us? Do look and see our reproach. Our own hereditary possession has been turned over to strangers, our houses to foreigners. We have become mere orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. For money, we have had to drink our own water. Whatever that means. Let's see if we find out what that means. For silver. We've had to drink our own water. For a price, our own wood comes in. Oh, they've had to pay for their water. That's what it means. Close onto our neck, we have been pursued. We have grown weary. No rest has been left for us. To Egypt, we have given the hand. To Assyria, in order to get satisfaction with bread. Our forefathers are the ones that have sinned. They are no more. As for us, it is their errors that we have had to bear. Mere servants have ruled over us. There is no one tearing us away from their hand. At the risk of our soul, we bring in our bread because of the sword of the wilderness. Our very skin has grown hot just like a furnace because of the pangs of hunger. The wives in Zion, they have humbled the virgins in the cities of Judah. Princes themselves have been hanged by just their hand. The faces of even old men have not been honored. Even young men have lifted up a handmill itself, and under the wood, mere boys have stumbled. Old men themselves have ceased, even out of the gate, young men from their instrumental music. The exultation of our heart has ceased. Our dancing has been changed into mere mourning. The crown of our head has fallen. Woe now to us because we have sinned. On this account, our heart has become ill. On account of these things, our eyes have grown dim. On account of Zion's mountain that is desolated, foxes themselves have walked on it. As for you, O Jehovah, to time indefinite you will sit. Your throne is for generation after generation. Why is it that forever you forget us, that you leave us for the length of days? Bring us back, O Jehovah, to yourself, and we shall readily come back. Bring new days for us as in the long ago. However, you have positively rejected us. You have been indignant toward us very much. That concludes the book of Lamentations and chapter 5 of Lamentations. Don't know what we'll be studying next just yet. Logically, we might go on and start reading Ezekiel, or we might jump back and read Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. But for now, we're going to read John chapter 20 for today. Jehovah willing, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the memorial tomb early. While there was still darkness, perhaps we'll read John 21 as well, and she beheld the stone already taken away from the memorial tomb, similar to the other Gospels which we read. Therefore, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, that's John, the one who's writing this book, for whom Jesus had affection. And she said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the memorial tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Welcome to you if you're just joining our study. Then Peter and the other disciple went out and started for the memorial tomb. Yes, the two together began to run, but the other disciple ran ahead of Peter with greater speed. The other disciple, that's John, ran ahead of Peter with greater speed and reached the memorial tomb first. And stooping forward, he beheld the bandages lying, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter also came following him, and he entered into the memorial tomb. And he viewed the bandages lying, also the cloth that had been upon his head, Jesus' head, not lying with the bandages, but separately rolled up in one place. At that time, therefore, the other disciple, that's John, who had reached the memorial tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. So they believed that Jesus had been resurrected, for they did not yet discern the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. And so the disciples went back to their homes. So they hadn't yet believed from scripture, but they believed from seeing with their own eyes that the body was no longer there. Mary, however, kept standing outside near the memorial tomb weeping. Then, while she was weeping, she stooped forward to look into the memorial tomb, and she viewed two angels in white. Here are the angels again. Sitting one at the head, and they're dressed in white. One at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him. After saying these things, she turned back and viewed Jesus standing, but she did not discern it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She, imagining it was the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him off, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Upon turning around, so she had not yet fully turned around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but be on your way to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and brought the news to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. Therefore, when it was late on that day, the first of the week, all the accounts agree it was the first of the week, the Sunday, and although the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "May you have peace." So the resurrection occurred on very early on the Sunday. And then later in the day, this is what John is telling us happened. And after he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced at seeing the Lord. He said, "May you have peace. He's the Prince of Peace." Jesus therefore said to them again, "May you have peace. Just as the Father has sent me forth, I also am sending you." And after he said this, he blew upon them and said to them, "Receive Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any persons, they stand forgiven to them. If you retain those of any persons, they stand retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, who was called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Consequently, the other disciples would say to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and stick my finger into the print of the nails, and stick my hand into his side where the soldier had stabbed him with a spear, and the blood and water came out, I will certainly not believe." Well, 8 days later, his disciples were again indoors, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and he stood in their midst and said, "May you have peace." Next he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and take your hand and stick it into my side, and stop being unbelieving, but become believing." In answer, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Happy are those who do not see and yet believe." To be sure, Jesus performed many other signs also before the disciples, which are not written down in this scroll, but these have been written down that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that because of believing you may have life by means of his name. It's an interesting thing about the rising of Sothis, because it changes so slowly in the Egyptian calendar. It takes 4 years for it to change by one day. So in the ninth year of Amenhotep, if that was the ninth anniversary of the rising of Sothis in his year one, that would only be about 2 Egyptian days different in the calendar, which could be accounted for by a slightly different calculation using the astronomical calculations of modern scientists, could still achieve the exact same date for Amenhotep without any difficulty. I think that's worth noting. So his year one could remain at 1526, no matter how you interpret the ninth year in the Ebers Papyrus. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Kinnereth, isn't it? It's not the Salt Sea, but it's the sea that's up in the region of Galilee, and he made the manifestation in this way. The Tiberius would be a Roman name, of course, right? And there were in company Simon Peter and Thomas, who was called the twin, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We also are coming with you. Out they went and got aboard the boat, but during that night they caught nothing. However, just as it was getting to be morning, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not, of course, discern that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Young children, you do not have anything to eat, do you? They answered, No, to him. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Then they cast it, but they were no longer able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus used to love said to Peter, That's John, said to Peter, It is the Lord. Hence Simon Peter, upon hearing that it was the Lord, girded about himself his top garment, for he was naked, or in other words, scantily clad, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not a long way from land, only about 300 feet away, dragging the net of fishes. When it says they came in a little boat, it sounds like there was a bigger boat possibly too, which I never noticed before actually. But there could have been a bigger boat that could have been moored there or something. It's possible. I never thought of that before, but that's a possibility. However, when they disembarked onto land, they beheld lying there a charcoal fire and fish lying upon it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you just now caught. Simon Peter therefore went on board and drew the net to land, full of big fishes, 153 of them. But although there were so many, the net did not burst. Jesus said to them, Come, take your breakfast. Not one of the disciples had the courage to inquire of him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and the fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after his being raised up from the dead. Of course, one time he appeared to two of them on the road, one of whom was named Cleopas. They were not his, he was not one of the 12 apostles. When now they had breakfasted, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know I have affection for you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. Again he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know I have affection for you. He said to him, Shepherd my little sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you have affection for me? Peter became grieved that he said to him the third time, Do you have affection for me? Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times. So he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You are aware that I have affection for you. Jesus said to him, Feed my little sheep. Most truly I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk about where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and another man will gird you and bear you where you do not wish. This he said to signify by what sort of death he would glorify God. So when he had said this, he said to him, Continue following me. Upon turning about, Peter saw the disciple whom Jesus used to love following, the one who at the evening meal had also leaned back upon his breast and said, Lord, who is the one betraying you? Accordingly, when he caught sight of him, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, what will this man do? Jesus said to him, If it is my will for him to remain until I come, of what concern is that to you? You continue following me. That implies that John would live until after the destruction of Jerusalem, which we believe is true, that John lived until some 26 or so years, or 29, is it 29 years or 20? 99 CE or something, or either that, or at least 96 CE, John lived until, which would be 26 years after the 70 CE destruction. 70 CE was the year of the destruction of Jerusalem. In consequence, this saying went out among the brothers that John would not die. But Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if it is my will for him to remain until I come. In other words, the coming of Jesus was at the destruction of Jerusalem. He came and Jerusalem was destroyed as part of the justice administered, and also it was time to do away with the Jewish religion, because for one thing they had not believed Jesus, but also the new covenant was going to begin. Of what concern is that to you? This is the disciple that bears witness about these things and that wrote these things, and we know that the witness he gives is true. This is the disciple who wrote this book, whose name was John, and he's the one referred to as the disciple whom Jesus used to love. And then he concludes, does John, with this final verse, there are in fact many other things also which Jesus did, which if ever they were written in full detail, I suppose, the world itself could not contain the scrolls written. It's the end of the book of John, the end of chapter 21 of John. And that concludes our study of the time of Jesus' resurrection, which we've been studying recently. We've studied the details of what happened on the Sunday after the Sabbath, which was, we talked about in the article, Born and Raised, a very long Sabbath of multiple Sabbath days of different sects in Jerusalem, including the Essenes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, which was unique in the year 30 CE, and that's one of the reasons why 30 CE is the correct date, but there are other reasons. One of them is because in the work of Josephus, we have information that gives us knowledge about the time between, well, that there were 107 years of high priests from the beginning of Herod's reign until 70 CE, which means Herod's reign began in 37 BCE, which is accurate. It's 107 years inclusive because there's no year zero. So it works out very well. And also, we know more than that. There are reasons that we talk about in the article, Born and Raised. But that's all for today, for this video. It's December 23rd, 2023 of the Common Era, and the time is 1622 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. I love you. I love you all. This is my wonderful little mechanical watch, Gully. And this is my battery-driven watch, a digital watch, Cassie, on my behalf saying bye for now.